So who is the one experiencing this? Who are you? Is the one that's experiencing this somebody in time? A description of a birth or growing up in Ireland or Scotland or Belgium or Holland or England? Is that who's looking right now? That description? Is it someone that's had traumatic experiences, that has been treated badly by their partner or had amazing experiences, is a famous actor? Is that who you are? Is that who's looking now? Is that who experiences this? Or is that part of the experience? Is that part of the play of things? When that person, that story is taken to be who you are, then suffering begins. Because the person, the body, and the experiences of the body become the most important thing, more important than what's actually happening. And an energy starts that becomes very narrow and focused on a very narrow part of experiencing. And it always feels like you are something solid in relationship with the world. And you are separate from the world. And you are vulnerable to the world. The body is vulnerable. It is going to turn into something else. It's not going to stay in this form forever. But that's not who you are. That's another part of this. That's something that comes and goes in this. And what that person looks for has become the most important thing. That person's happiness, the pleasure of the body, has become it. That's what life is about. That's the purpose of life, the pleasure of the body. Even if it's about saving the world, I assure you that's still giving the body pleasure. That's why it does it. The body is always going towards towards experiencing pleasure, and imagines the perfect world as more pleasurable, as more safe, as more relaxing. And this becomes the most important game, to seek for pleasure and to avoid pain, to make sure this body just has positive things. It always feels joy, it always feels happiness, it always feels right, it always feels higher, it always feels more. It always feels nice sensations. It always feels the right temperature. It always feels meaningful. It always is beautiful and meaningful and has purpose. And it's really not that important, pleasure and pain. They just come and go. But it's become an obsession of the person. And it believes that one day it will find the right amount of pleasure and it will feel complete. Even in liberation, that's what it imagines. And the only liberation is the falling away of that one that thinks that it's separate from the world and needs to find its own happiness and needs to find its own pleasure. Pleasure is just an experiencing. It's a sensation that comes and goes. If I stop feeling irritation, if I get the perfect partner, if I choose correctly, if I do the right thing, if I didn't not feel good enough, if that person didn't do this to me, all these stories and very narrow reality. If I did this, I would look like that. If I did this, I would seem like that. It really doesn't matter. Pleasure and pain come and go. They're not it. not experiencing frustration isn't a problem. Controlling your environment and making people not frustrating, and making sure you surround yourself with people that aren't frustration, isn't it? It's not in any of that. It's the collapse of the one that believes that it exists separately and needs to find something. Your nature is free. The nature of everything is free. The baby was free. The children, young children, are free. They begin to get identified, but it's the birthright of everything. It is everything and nothing. But you won't find it in something, so you won't find it in doing something. You won't find it in experiencing something. You won't find it in making an environment perfect. Yet that might happen, but that's not it. That's just pleasure. It's so obvious that this would start as soon as complicated thinking starts, that this hunting game starts, because as soon as there is the ability to think, I am the body, then I am the body, and let's make the environment nice for me. And let's make it a pleasurable environment for me. And so this game starts, looking. There isn't somebody there. It's all we imagine. There's just what's happening. It's being a trick. All these thoughts and feeling sensation that you're sitting in this room experiencing this or experiencing life. You is an appearance that comes and goes.
Lisa, is there a hierarchy of any kind, or is that just a thinking? Hierarchy, like a division of better or worse, or thoughts. Let's say like a person has a lot of devotion and is reciting mantras all day, huh? For themselves and for the world, and they're happy doing that, huh? And then, or another child, let's see, is preparing for their first communion, and they're learning the rosary and being devotional. So some people would say or think that that's creating something positive for themselves and for the world. And let's say someone else at the same time or a different time is at the immigration border now between the U.S. and between Texas and Mexico. And they're taking guns and saying, turn back, even the women and children. We can't let them in. They have to go back to Honduras with no water and no food, and we, you know, out with the immigrants, and really angry, hateful thoughts.
Yeah.
Is there a difference in what, is there any meaning? You know, is one increasing, let's say, the cosmic happiness or the collective conscious happiness, and one is decreasing them by negativity, or is that just the thoughts too? Well, we couldn't choose anyway. There's no one saying, I'm going to hate the people from Honduras and send them away. That just happened. Or the little girl who's 12 years old learning all the Hail Marys, and that's kind of a pretty thought, that she's thinking of God and heaven and...
Yeah, I don't know how it's all working.
Yeah. So once I... Maybe a better thought,
no,
or
it's
another.
Not that it's
not
better.
That.
Yeah. It's not that it's better, but more than likely, mm-hmm. If a child's brought up, I don't know. I really don't know. But there's nothing that's ultimately better in the whole scheme of things. There can't be anything that's better because it's all coming. Mm-hmm. It is the same source expressing.
Mm-hmm. So even the idea that one would counter with, let's say, making caricature, that enough rosaries said or enough mantras recited would help decrease the negativity in the world.
No.
Or could that be possible?
I don't know how this is working,
uh-huh.
But ultimately there is no world.
Mm-hmm.
There's just this.
Or the suffering, let's say.
Yeah.
Would that decrease the suffering or... I don't know.
I don't know how it works, but ultimately, there is no world.
Mm-hmm.
There is no... But I don't know how,
mm-hmm.
in the dream of the world, how it works, but there is no world happening.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be any different from how it is. And one can't be better, but you could describe it relatively as that's a nicer thing than the other, but it couldn't be any other way.
Mm-hmm.
What it is.
Because it would seem that human nature, it seems to be devotional. People forever have liked to pray to the fire or to the goddess, or there seems to be a sacred part of the nature. Or is that the part of us that's wanting to go home?
Most probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put it into religion.
Yeah.
Devotion is most probably... got that feeling of it, of letting go of everything. It also comes with lots of other things, devotion as well.
Mm-hmm.
That nice things will happen in the world.
Right, if it becomes a market, then it's well, okay, you could say it couldn't happen in any other way, but if it's just devotion for the sake of the devotion, for the love of something.
Yeah.
But it rarely is, I guess.
Yeah.
Saying at the end of it, so many boxes of incense, I'll be enlightened. Burn all my incense and do all my mantras.
Yeah. And if I do this, then nice things will happen to me or whatever.
And to other people.
Yeah. Which are you, whoever you see as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, if you want to ask a question, because I'm doing live talks, then you have to call in and ask it. I'm not going to answer written questions today.
You talked this morning about, the wiring and the conditioning. Most of what we do is due to that genetics or conditioning or brought up. Okay? So that would also be, the interest in spirituality or awakening. Why we're here and other people are watching TV or in a war. That's part of our conditioning as well. That some of us are the wiring that those are going to be interested in finding God. And others just couldn't care less.
They will never ever spark anything. It's amazing that who it sparks and who it doesn't. Okay. You'd think body mind mechanisms are similar or
So that's part of the programming as well. It's that interest.
Yeah, for everything, the body, but who's programming the body? We don't know.
But it comes with either having blue eyes or brown eyes or short or tall.
Sort of thing.
That it's interest in spirituality, not
liking
chocolate or liking fruit, or neither. That's just part of that game too.
I mean, we don't need to say programming, but it's that which is creating all this. These are just puppets, or these are just being pulled, and the way it normally does it is through the programming of the body, the cell, the setup. But who is doing that? We don't know.
But it would be the same mechanism that gives the person blue eyes or makes them tall or short that would make them, whoever makes them, interested in awakening or not. It's that arbitrary.
Yep.
Is there a kind of grace that can come over you?
Grace implies that there's something, that everything's grace. Grace, the use of grace seems to imply that there's something that can suddenly happen that's out of the ordinary or something, or separate from this, that comes in and touches somebody, my mechanisms. But you can only say it's all grace. Even the asking of that question and the moving of the hand and the hearing of these sounds, it's all it. And it will dissolve in all bodies. It's not just for the special or the ones that have karmically undone anything.
But it's
just like when the flower was ripe to go, poof, that's when it happened. Like, and the other flowers are sitting there going, when's it going to happen to me? Tell me how it happens to me. And then eventually, poof, oh. And then the other, no, how did it happen? Well, it just happened. No, how did it happen? It just happened. And then the other one comes up, how did it happen? It really is. We're like, everything is just happening. It's not anything to do with a person inside the body.
If it is lived through with attention, it would be experienced as, even if it is a bad experience, like the best thing that could happen. in that moment, probably, or
before.
Even if in the story what you experience is terrible, it would be experienced as a good thing in your evolution or in your growth.
Not good, not bad. What? Who are you talking about?
No, you say everything is grace.
Yeah.
So I can imagine that if a good friend of me dies, that can be experienced as grace because it brings me in a way closer to life.
No, that's an added-on story. It's grace just because it happens.
Because it happens.
And then the mind imagines it's good happening because it will make me more awake or it'll make me more aware. We don't know.
No.
So how it's going, and that's you thinking you can see something about yourself.
No.
It could be descriptions about the body, but really not descriptions about awakening or your path.
No. So, but
why does that story need to be told?
No.
Often to make one feel better about the waking up process.
Mm-hmm. But living with some kind of a grateful attitude richens your life.
Most probably better than living with an ungrateful attitude.
Yes.
But that's still an attitude. That's still a thing which comes and goes.
Yes.
That's not it. It most probably be better to have a positive attitude than a negative one.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't change it. The one that's like, okay, change it, change it, change it, and then it's struggling to change it is an absolute illusion. It's not you. You can feel that person, oh, so what do I do? What do I do? And it wants to look to do something or tell itself something. But that's an appearance. It's appearing in this. It's not the one looking. It's not the one experiencing. It's so amazing how that trick's taken over, that appearance. It's saying that that's who you are. It's seen. It's appearing. And then it goes, but where do I sit? What do I do? I've got to make myself do something. I've got to see everything as grace, or I've got to see everything as non-dual. Mm. And this movement is appearing in this.
Mm.
It really is. That assumption that that is who you are is like assuming that you're the light, and you're like, okay, why aren't you moving? I said move to the left. Why are you not moving to the left? Why aren't you shining brighter?
Mm.
But then it's like, oh shit, what do I do? What do I do? It's kind of being used to giving the appearance and playing the game of I am the one controlling and creating. And it's a movement of energy, it's a movement forward and then suddenly it's beginning to crumble and it's like hi, Raman. No, we changed the times. It's not 5, it's 4. But tomorrow it's 5.
So the ego, if the person says, I want to be enlightened, or that there's a move, so running around trying to do things to get enlightened is as useless as saying, I have green eyes, but I'd really rather have blue eyes.
Yes.
And what can I do?
Yeah.
I'll try all the possibilities to have blue eyes. because I don't want my green eyes, and I really, really want those blue eyes. Like, I know those blue eyes of Nikki would really change everything. So it's as useless.
It really is like that. I used to have a friend that wanted my hair. She wanted straight hair. She had curly hair. She tried everything. She'd spend hundreds of pounds trying to get like ointments and medicines and always the next one. And she'd tell me all about it. And I'd go, ah, her hair's nice. I thought she had nice hair. And she'd try, and every time it didn't work or it didn't look as good. And she couldn't get over it because she could never get straight hair if you've got really curly hair. Sort of a little bit of humidity would come out and be like, boom! And so she would keep thinking that one day she would be happy when she got this straight hair.
So maybe like all the frustration in that life was put on having straight hair.
It's the same thing with the idea of enlightenment. Yeah. Because at least with most things, maybe not the hair one, but I mean, like with a lot of physical things, there can be a point of achieving it, and then it can be like, well, it's not that. Mm-hmm. You get the computer, you get the animals, you get the car, you get the. And then it's quite obvious the lover's not it. But with the enlightenment one, it's just got such a juicy. But you can't have it. You can't have it. It's not got anything to do with you. It's the dropping of that one that's looking. It's just terrible. And it's so frustrating when this begins to hear. At first it hears, okay, sit in silence, and there's like 8 hours a day or 9 hours a day of sitting in silence, waiting, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually it begins to get to a point where it really begins to hear about this, about the seeking. And it's incredibly frustrating because there's a movement forward to look. That's the energy has been conditioned and trained, and every other body mind mechanism is doing it, then it begins to hear it's not in the looking. So the energy wants to go forward, but there's a knowing that's so deep that that's not it. It's like you know that whatever you dream of, it's not it, the dream of something. But then the hopeful part of it is. It is always it. It's just been as this game of looking, which has always been imagination-based, but energetical. Imagination's become an energetical thing. And it's funny watching body and mind mechanisms that aren't interested in this at all and never become interested in this. Always, when you see them over time, haven't seen them for 10 years, and they've still got similar stories of looking. And it's like they've completely forgotten that they were doing that 10 years ago. And they're looking for the same thing, if only my husband did this, if only my partner was like that. And they've forgotten that 10 years ago they were still hoping maybe it was a different partner, that the different partner was like that.
That's also, at least in this experience, it's having people that appear to be annoying like that in my life saying, knowing that it's not it, huh? Like I had a friend who had a really hard relationship with her mother, huh? But that was probably the only thing that she would talk about. You know, when it came down to something after the shopping or what my husband did or what he didn't do. And it was all because of my mother. And at one point, there was that feeling in me that said, okay, Mary, I'll talk to you, I'll listen to you about anything, but I cannot listen to the, it's all my mother's fault story anymore. That it's a waste of my time and it's a waste of your time.
She emotionally left them.
Yeah, but I didn't, that was the end of her being my friend, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But it felt very freeing.
Yeah.
That there's something maybe that likes the awakening. Felt that that was, mm-hmm. just felt happier.
Yeah, the body
felt freer.
Yeah, right? Begins to be able to not listen to the repetition of these lookings, and it's that fault, and if that hadn't happened, then it could be like this.
It feels like poison, huh? Maybe that's a reaction, really irritating reaction.
It's more, it's just like...
it's a waste of everything.
It's not that it's a waste of everything, it's so dramatically bad. It's just how the human, this personalized self has got looped. It's not even stuck in a loop, it's just how it's got looped. Like, you know, if you see a really pointless animal, not that all everything isn't pointless, but a really pointless one where you're like, wow, that's a really waste of time. Trying to think of something that does something really shit. Like, it's just the evolution or the flow of things is just... what is something that does something silly?
Mosquitoes.
Yeah, mosquitoes, but, I mean, they're quite efficient at their job. But it's just an activity of the human that's just got stuck in a loop.
It's like a cassette. That's over and over, the same cassette.
Yeah, and it's just an energy that's overtaken of going over. And it seems that all body-mind mechanisms have different me stories, different things that they're looking for. Like, some are trying to avoid the mother, some whatever it is. And they're over and over and over repeating it again. It will go with the body. It's like an activity in the brain or what, it's physical. It's happening in the body. It will go in the body when the body dies.
Mm.
But it gives an appearance of a self, this repetition. Mm. It gives a sense of the person from which this has happened to. My mother did this to me. And that repeating, is making it seem like this isn't suspended in the middle of nothing, but this has come from somewhere, and that this in some way makes sense, which it really doesn't. But it's like the repetition of the stories kind of make this a bit more seem like it's grounded, but it doesn't. But, like
in a cause and effect type of thing.
Yeah.
My mother hadn't been so mean to me. I could have gone to university, but I didn't have any confidence in me because she was so mean. And so that.
It kind of makes it seem more sensical, but it's really not off sense.
So if the girl didn't go to university, it's just because that's in her
genetic,
and that happened.
She would have gone to university and then got a degree, and then she had a moan about something.
Something else.
It would have gone on to something else.
Yeah. But that any satisfaction.
Yes,
sort of
just go
the trip, jump
the
so much
story,
to the other thing.
The loop again.
Mm-hmm.
Hide and seek. And it'll get fixated on another one. And sometimes the game can be pleasurable, but most of the time it's a bit uncomfortable because it's always repeating the story of not enough. This moment isn't enough, and it's always wanting to move forward. It's not about being in this room, it's about what I can get from this room or where I'll go in this room. So it's always about going somewhere, and it's just such a trick. There is just nowhere to go. This has not got the destination of heaven at the end. This is nowhere to go. But the freedom in the pointlessness. Yeah.
At a certain point, that's a great relief, isn't it?
Yeah, it's such a relief.
Relief that is.
So you've not got to make something happen. It's not your responsibility to make your life happen.
Mm.
It's just happening endlessly.
Yeah.
I love the meaninglessness of it. It's hilarious. I particularly like it on those days where you're just moving the body from one place to another as if it's got points or something. Somebody's at the front door. I was thinking that because it's hot and that we should just have a 5 minute charge up the coffee, pace around, come back in. Well, not yet, we'll wait till 5. We've got halfway. Hit stop. Coffee time. Maybe some nice person could go and put the coffee on before the break.
Nice.
Oh, you are too sweet.
She's a nice person.
She's a considering all the pointlessness, would you still say it's...
It's hilarious. The pointlessness is just heaven.
Yes, but would you still say it's meaningful to say sit back, relax and enjoy the ride? Or even that
no,
is
you can't. No. If the person is... That's so... That's like, in a way, that's mean to say to someone. If someone's really agitated...
Mm.
My brother experiences a lot of difficulty. To say that... That sit back and enjoy the ride. I hear people saying it to him all the time. I'm like, fuck off. What arrogance.
Yes. So, what would be a way to cope with the pointlessness?
You can't cope with it.
But still, we are here.
We think we are. I don't know what to say like that. We think we are. Who is here now? I love this bit. I love it when someone says we are here. I'm like, we're really not here. But you can't cope with something. Well, there's discomfort. The discomfort's got to run until it stops. But the thing is the discomfort's not happening to you and you're not fucking up for having the discomfort. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's got to play out for God knows what reason.
Okay.
And it will stop. It will stop. It's not just endless discomfort. Mm-hmm. And I know the story goes, I've experienced it for 30 years. It really, it's just a story. It really hasn't been like the way you think it has.
No. So, but anything goes, being passive about it or
proactive, yeah. If there's an energy to try and make it more better in the dream, to try and recondition, then that's just as perfect as not.
Yes.
But it's not you doing it.
No.
You are not the doer. There isn't somebody there that's doing any of it.
So
there's impulses that arise in freedom.
Which means that there is really nothing you can do that is wrong either.
No.
It's nothing good and nothing wrong. You might just as well try experimenting.
Well, if that happens.
If that happens.
It's like we sit here and we're like, we'll try experimenting. When it comes to dinner time, we're like, oh no, we'll have lasagna. You can't just know.
No.
It's just the way it is. But
But is it? It must be quite natural then to arrive at the point where you're really stuck, because you still think there is somebody, and then.
No, you're never really stuck, but it might give that feeling, the uncomfortable feelings of feeling stuck.
Yes.
But there's never really someone stuck because that's just a dream.
Mm.
There's an imagination of your body being stuck in mud or stuck, or however you imagine it, or the feelings or the sensation. It's never really happening.
No.
But that will pass. Something will happen and that will pass.
Yeah.
It might feel even more stuck for a while and then eventually it will move. And how, we don't know. Lots of things will happen which are no thing because there aren't any things.
No.
Just movement, like a kaleidoscope of energy. Moving, 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 moving. Mm. And it's nothing to do with any of us. There isn't any of us. It's just appearances. Coming and going of a character which isn't you, and choices that aren't yours, they're not your choices. The thought comes up, I'm going to choose apple juice, but there's not an I in there, it's a description of the body. It's appearing in this. It's like the light, it's appearing in it.
Of course, feeling responsible, for instance, for other people is also pointless.
Yes,
but within the story, it's
but
very
the body
meaningful.
Is bound to its programming. So, if the body has a kid, more than likely the programming would be to nurture that kid.
Yes,
I got given a dog, and that's what this body does. It responds as if it's a baby. It can't help it.
No, it can't help it.
It just does that. But it's not your responsibility. It's just the programming or the conditioning or whatever we call it, the wiring acting out.
Yeah.
And you might do a terrible job of bringing up the kid or a great job, you wouldn't even be able to tell, and it really doesn't matter. Because who knows? No, you can't look outside the picture. Some people might say terrible, some people might say fantastic. But every time you nod, that body nods, that's not you nodding, you feel that.
Yes.
It's just the happening, it's just the smile happens. That's the same with all the choices and the thoughts and the sensation. And they're appearing in boundless, and I'm going to say space again, although there's no space, or emptiness, or infinity, or eternity. They're appearing in this.
Yes.
And that freedom is always here, no matter what agony the body goes into.
I can feel the emptiness behind the nodding. I can feel it. The nodding is meaningless in a way, but it's I can feel the conditioning of it. It goes with the story. Nodding.
And it's just one endless movement, and as it and because it's moving, it's no thing. There's not things because of that movement. It means there's no things. Because how? At what point? Have we got a thing?
Just twirling.
Yeah, it's like these lights on the computer. Now you're all on Ustream. But be careful not to touch it. Because it's me moving, there's no thing. At what point is that light, one of those strips of thing? That's it. That's what the poor me's doing. Yeah. That's it.
But still, it's a phenomenon appearing.
It's amazing. Amazing. And we will never have any clue as to what it is. And the enjoyment of talking about it, we'll never have any clue as to what is doing this and why and what it is. It is happening. There's also an element that it's not happening. That's gone. Gone. It's gone. Has that light ever happened? It's gone now. It's gone. I bet you can't see it because of all the dirt. I'm like, look.
Sometimes I can feel that there's just as much reality in the dream you dream at night, or the thought you have, or even the flesh you touch. It's just as much.
Yep.
Yes. Or the picture you see with build up with pixels on a computer screen.
Yeah. And it's all weird because if your mind's not keep repeating stories, then this is just, what is that? What is any of it?
Would you say that energy has a capacity of knowing?
Well, certainly intellectually, there's the two things in English, the intellectual knowing, like understanding, and then, I don't know what this is, what's happening here. It seems to, doesn't it? It seems to be conscious.
Mm.
Is it? Seems to. It gets really weird the stiller and stiller it becomes. It gets a bit intimate. Quite a bit intimate. See, knowing and consciousness imply separation. It's like when you imagine a kaleidoscope, it's like consciousness, I think, is, or knowing is a functioning happening in it. It's like energy is creating this functioning, or the no-thingness, which is the energy, is creating this functioning of, I don't know. Maybe get back onto what Phyllis was talking about this morning about consciousness. The more and more, like when we, it's so intimate this bit, the less and less ideas there are about what is, the more and more intimate it becomes. Even the idea of consciousness or knowing, less and less position comes, and without a position, there's just in loveness or penetration. I don't know what to call it. Closeness.
Closeness, intimacy.
Yeah. It's all yourself. It's all you, that's full on, right?
Do you experience an outward going energy or more of a standstill? You can energy most of the time has a direction, doesn't it? Of course, a searcher would say that the energy is going outward very, very much, but there's a motion towards it, a movement. Would you say that there is a direction to the energy?
Which energy?
The energy you are.
Or everything and nothing.
Everything, yes.
There's a direction. Well, it seems to have a direction, but it's the past is falling away and disappearing, so then it kind of leaves it directionlessness. Directionless, because the past is gone, so it's always here.
Yes.
But it seems to have a movement of going, but then the past is gone, so then it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like you just come back. I just come back to the kaleidoscope all the time.
Yeah.
It seems to be moving, but it's going nowhere.
It's like a waltz on a dance floor. It remains on the dance floor, but it's a waltz and there's a movement, but it's in the same place all the time. Yes. The dance, maybe. Probably.
I like the kaleidoscope a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so call in Robin if you feel to. Oh, it's missed. All these people calling. Didn't see. Hey, Lauren. It's Lisa.
Thanks for calling.
You know that we're streaming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you did your intro, I was watching myself, like, in a laboratory.
Did you guys hear that?
Yeah.
He was watching himself in a laboratory. Oh, we just mentioned the toilet, the English person laughed. Yes.
So what I was noticing is that, you know, it seems like it's already happened, you know, what's looked for, and it's just, and can it be this simple?
Yes.
The movement, the person just absolutely cannot get this at all.
No, and it's this simple. It's so simple. It's right here. It's so intimate in this. It's got nothing to do with you understanding, with the movement of the person, with the person understanding this. It's just the simplicity of what is. And it's hilariously funny because it's just meaningless, the person.
It's already happened. And any add-on to it just overlooks it. The first thought about it.
Yeah. He's gone now. We just lost you, Lawrence. You said we got up to the first thought about it, and the first thought about it has missed it, but the first thought of it is a brand new creation appearing in it.
Yes.
Beautiful creation. But it's missed it always. It's gone, gone, gone. And that's the part where it's still. That gone is the stillness. That gone is the beautiful mystery. That gone is the freedom.
Yeah,
and the beautiful thought that comes up of, like, the last moment is then the new beautiful creation, the spontaneous creation of this, the weird creation of this endlessness. This really is endlessness.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you cut out for a few minutes. Okay. But not a few minutes, or a few seconds.
I started looking around. And the other thing that I wanted to say that there's a quote, when you talk about everything arising in the boundlessness, you know, it seems, I don't know how to say this, but the thought of it not being it or whatever seems to be arising,
it is everything.
This sound coming out of my voice is everything.
Everything.
There is no elsewhere.
No. And there's no separation from that boundlessness. Even the contracted energy is boundlessness.
So these sounds coming out of my mouth are boundlessness.
Yeah.
It's all there is.
Yeah.
There's nothing else.
No.
It's
weird.
It's weird, isn't it? Because there's such a tendency to go into
the story then. Yeah.
The full thinking about the appearance, you know, and the appearance. You know, I've heard it said sometimes that the illusion is all there is, you know, and there's like, there's so much nonsense about Maya, you know.
And, yeah.
But you know, how do we know that there's anything else but the illusion? it's just what's appearing, and it's just the
color show.
Yeah, there's no, I don't know, the words are like, I just can't describe it, really. But what was so cool is to see how subtle the trap is.
How even the one that can see it is a movement trying to get somewhere. It's amazing. There is just the... All what's being talked about is always is. Even the one seeing the trap is part of the trap. It's crazy. It's so subtle.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. I mean, why not? What else? What else? I mean, what a creative thing that life has done. Not only has it created all these forms, it's created a form which believes it's independent.
Yeah, it's constantly what comes to mind is this, the eyeball constantly trying to see itself.
Yeah.
It can never see itself, but is determined to see itself. And this is where the frustration comes in, right? Because it's absolutely impossible, but it's convinced it will be able to do it. Oh, well.
Nice to talk to you, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm thinking of going to Utah.
Woohoo! We were just talking about that today.
And it's going to be like, I've sworn off being a judgmental asshole.
It's going to be funky.
I know these people.
You
know,
oh, you do?
I was talking. It seems like there's a little, it's like Moonies or something.
It's like what?
Moonies.
You know, Moonies. We had this cult.
The Korean guy.
It's a Korean bizarre.
Sunling Moon.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've never been there before.
Well, I haven't been there either, but I have a friend who was in the deal for a while. So,
we'll go there and we'll never be allowed out.
Yeah, right? Careful. I won't let you out. You're going to be abducted. Part of this.
We'll be just living in Utah. Apparently, Utah is very pretty.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring a couple of wigs or something.
Moment.
Anyway, that's enough out of me.
Lovely to speak to you again, Lauren.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
It's such a sweet picture. I get lost looking at the picture when I'm talking to someone.
I'm
going to speak to Source Is now. people have funny names on Skype. Sources. Your microphone's not working. Just... Oh, hello. There's another new person. But we're going to just take a 5-minute break now. We don't seem to have got Source, so we'll let That worked, didn't it?
We missed
Source. So Source is turned
on. We're just going to take a 5-minute break, and you can just work out your microphone. You can do a trial run with Skype. Just test it with Skype, and I'll call you back. Hi, Source. And the stream will be back in 5 minutes. It just, it's hot in here. We're just going to take a 5-minute wander in the toilet. Okay, let's go.
All right. It's really funny. Right before the break, you mentioned that we lost Source there. And it was pretty funny because it kind of relates to what has been being talked about here, like about hide and seek and in the Course of Miracles, and just the sense that Source can allows everything, including all sense of separation and sense of time and newness and freshness and I don't know, everything's included in it, and it feels like if everything is equally fresh, even the sense of like old things that are old and things that are new, it's all equally new, it feels like.
Are you still there?
Hello. Yeah, the kaleidoscopic analogy, that I really resonate with that. It feels like at every moment it's a new configuration, and with each configuration there's a totally different sense of what happened in the past and what will happen in the future.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a concrete, solid, unmovable thing that happened and has been causing what is now is the present, that's led up to now and will lead to a definite future. It's but it appears like that in this fresh thing that's happening. But it seems really weird and strange that if it's all God or all grace and there's only Source presencing itself and there's no other, and there's no space really to go to or from, it's weird that movement can even appear. It's almost like wouldn't movement imply that there is a here and a there, like even on a very small scale, that there's something within, like a space within which movement can even happen.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? I didn't. I just see it as noting or energy, which is empty. Emptiness expressing.
Oh.
That was quickly understood, very quickly.
Yes, but it's to the question that was brought up earlier about consciousness, and if like the difference between consciousness and knowing, it seems like there can be knowing.
How do you know there's knowing? But I haven't got any answers here. This is where, I mean, I never have any answers to anything, but this is where I get even more silent. How do you know there's knowing?
Yeah, but it seems like maybe knowing is secondary, like there's just this primal, like, energy, and consciousness is one of its temporary forms that it appears but it's not like consciousness is the actual fundamental thing that's happening.
It's another appearance.
But
all of this we know in thoughts, and we also know in thoughts that none of the thoughts can be true. The only thing that's ever left is the experience, and the experience is also not happening at all. This is absolutely still as, or empty, whatever words work. It's gone. And that goneness is the emptiness. Did that conversation between us ever happen? Is there consciousness? Or, like, the idea that you can think about is there consciousness gives the feeling that there is something happening here, but in the actual moment of it, there's nothing happening here.
Yeah.
This is still. These sounds are gone. It's over.
Yeah, and that constant, unending gone-ness, there's infinite newness and freshness, and it almost feels like it's a spontaneous kind of self-creating, self-originating, abstract art or symphony. Not like someone is creating a symphony or someone is painting a painting that's just appearing, but there's some sort of beauty as one aspect of it.
I like to describe it as like a kaleidoscope, you know, where you keep moving the ends and the same colours and making all these beautiful pictures.
Yeah, and it's never the same
in
a certain sense. But then in another sense, it is the same because it just is the kaleidoscope. I just woke up, but thank you so much for
taking this call. Thanks, Jules. It's lovely speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hi, Francisca.
Lisa, when you say gone, the space where the things are gone is still there, isn't it? Okay.
Just the appearances are gone.
The appearances are gone.
And then the personal energy is always trying to hold on to a particular appearance of me.
Okay.
And that's the difficulty.
For a moment, I thought that the fractions in the split seconds in between things are happening are too short almost for things to happen. But it's not like that. It's eternal. It's not short. It's eternal. It's long. Anything can happen.
Lisa, this energy of the feeling of I, has it some place in the body where it's not living, but which, but from where it can relieve, be relieved? Or?
It's not from where it can be relieved, but it does seem to be in similar positions, I think, to where the chakras are. Like you feel, it often feels that a sense of self is behind the eyes or the throat or in the heart or even in the groin or the stomach. It tends to be somewhere here, a sense of self, and where those thoughts and feelings are coming from. But there's actually nothing in there. It's all an imagination that's happened that's seemingly become energetical. It seems to be that the choices are coming from there, the choices are coming from there, but there's actually nothing in there. It's empty and goes on forever.
Yeah, but when it gets lighter, this feeling of me, the fixation,
yeah,
then it can be felt in the body, or?
No, what happens when the sensation of me gets less is that, this is hard to put into words, is that amness, beingness, it's not that there's an explosion back into beingness, like everywhere, it's just that this story of me, and my life, has given the appearance that amness or beingness is inside the body, but beingness is everywhere and is everything. That I, original I, amness, aliveness, is everywhere. So it's not that there's an expansion, people say expansion, it's just that energy that's focused on me, 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 me stops, and then all there is am, or being, or which is nothing and everything. So everything is you, but not you as anything.
Yes.
Made sense, didn't it?
But this...
it's not inside there.
Yes. But to look for the body and to make it for the body nice, and this stays. This also appears.
That appears, but it's no longer completion pleasure. Pleasure is just nice and the body gently moves towards pleasure and nicer things over bad things, but it's no longer got the importance of I could find it. It's just pleasure. And pleasure comes and goes. It's not my completion. It's not it.
There's no longing for it. It's just happening.
Yeah, it's just happening. And it's not even a focus on it, so there's not even someone reporting back. Sometimes the thoughts about the pleasure and pain, but most of the time it's happening when there's not even thoughts about it. It's just... But the body is... I assure you, most of the time, the body will always pick the more pleasurable one. So in the shop, if it's offered a piece of cake, or dry old bread, it will pick the cake, unless the idea is I've got a diet or something, whatever it is. But most of the time it's picking, even that's picking the more pleasurable option. Like Slimmer's better than cake, whatever it is. But it doesn't belong anymore to anyone. And it's not going to be it. The person is always dreaming that the pleasure will be it. If only I could make it like this, then it would be okay.
And what is individuality for you?
Well, the appearance of things all have their unique individuality, but ultimately there aren't individuality. There's no separation between any of it, and it's all moving from one thing to another. But in the, I suppose, relative world or whatever, or in our language, you could say everything has its unique individuality. So that body has its unique shape and unique tones of colour, but there's not actually a separate body there. It's no separate from the space around it, from the light, from that which sees it, or the seeing of it. And the object aren't separate. But there could be a description of that individuality, as opposed to the body next to you, which is of different tones and... But they're not separate. There's no space in between any of the bodies. it's all made of the same thing, just seemingly appearing in different forms.
For my mind, it's very easy to say yes to this, but it doesn't change anything.
No. What do you want it to change to?
Is it the, I know from the experience that it's very nice to get when the identification gets lighter.
Yeah. Right. It seems like it in the description of things that can seem the way that
when the eye energy drops, is that a gradual process, or is that like...
Seems like a gradual process,
mm-hmm.
but always, ultimately, is spontaneous.
Mm. Because
the whole gradual process of really being really constructed, is it all in imagination, then? It's all in a dream.
Mm.
There's a Winnie there that's separate. Is deconstructing as a. There always is not a process because there's not actually a meaning that exists. In that dreamland, and sometimes I'm talking in the dreamland and sometimes not so much, but in that dreamland it can seem like a process. But there's actually no meaning there. It all comes to nothing. Meaning never existed. But you never got deconstructed. Because where is living?
The idea to be somebody gets weaker and weaker, that's all.
Yeah. It seems to be. There's less excitement about it. You see it as a young a teenager or a 10-year-old, the body is expressing lots of excitement about being somebody. It wants to show off to the friends and to be something, and there's an excitement in trying to be something. But then it's in some body mind mechanisms that becomes obvious that there's not much fun in pretending to be somebody. So the energy just dissolves out of it. It dissolves in all bodies eventually. This becomes more interesting. And then the description of the body is just a practicality or a social thing or describing to people what you've done or something. Or a description of how many you hear at that time, the baby.
Sometimes these states happen, it's like letting go of the steering wheel, and it's so exciting, it's very scary as well. So it's like this fear of not being able to cope in like my work or complicated thinking. So there's like this fear of letting go.
Yeah.
But then again, this whole underlying space or whatever we call it is always present.
Yeah. It's always there. But what it creates sometimes is this struggling person that's got to control things. And often when it's crumbling, fear does come up. Because it's the way it goes. And then it's just freefall. Who knows? drunken people. It was never ever you controlling any of it. You were always appearing. Sometimes you used to give me the feeling of like, did you ever have those dreams where you're at a party and then suddenly you realize you're naked?
Yeah.
No. I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, I had a sense that Lisa's going to pull this. It is like being naked, being stripped, pulled to rock.
Yeah, and then the body is just doing as it does.
Yeah. Trying to gain insight in the nature of things. Is that a practice or is that another story? Does it lead that?
It's just something that's happening.
Yeah.
It's the idea that it will lead you somewhere in the story, but it's just something that happens, these conversations. Mm-hmm. And then they disappear and they're gone. Because who is it going to lead somewhere? That's always been a dream, the mm-hmm. person. It seems to be talking about this.
Yeah. That's where a lot of religions are built up, meditation forms. Just happen.
Yeah, just happening. And all of it is it. It's not the result of it. So mm-hmm. these meditation groups or these religions, it's the act of going to the church. It's not what you'll get from going to the church. It's the act of meditating, it's not what you get from meditating. Mm-hmm. But that, I'm not saying that any of those are better or worse, it's what's actually happening, it's all it. Mm-hmm. The mind's always looking at it from the perspective of time and meaning and where we're going. And that's just got nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. It's only a practicality, like where the body's going. It's only used to help organise and help mm-hmm. communicate. It's not a reality, but the mind gets obsessed with it and it becomes all the time where I'm going, what's the meaning, what's the purpose.
How do you know that you are this? How do I know that I am this?
It's not that you know it, but all there's ever been is this. That's what all there's ever been. What else could you be? Imagination is still in this. Even if you imagine Bethe, it's still appearing in this. But did you mean it a bit more than that? How do we know? We never know intellectually in thoughts, but it's always the experience.
There's a seeing, I imagine.
And it's not a seeing, it's the energy stops going into me, and then this goes back to what it's always been. It's just that the energy stops going into the illusion and then it's just this. I have to say that's it.
Yeah.
This is it. This is not the imagining of anything else. This is all there ever is.
Yeah. In these stories unfold. So, stories?
Yeah.
Dreams unfold.
But always in this. So the whole world now is a story. Your mother, your father, your kids, if you have kids, your home, it's all storyland. But the person's always in storyland. The idea that there's a suffering world out there, or Pluto, or other things happening, this is all there is. And it's so still and silent. And immediate.
Mm.
And free. What's happening with sleep? It's just I don't know. I don't know what to keep this. It's the same really, but just a different form of imagining, maybe.
So there's this transition from being awake to being some sort of different consciousness. I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know.
I think it's just another part of expression.
Yeah.
When that dream is happening, it feels just as real as this. And you wake up and you're like, oh, that was just a dream.
Right. And then in the absence of dreams?
In the absence of dreams at night?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Right. So it's seeing Yeah, I mean, there's always nothing. And then when you go around life thinking you're this body and identified as this person, and then sleep happens. Sort of a dropping of... yeah. But yet...
But then nothing's here now as well.
Right.
But yeah, dreams sometimes appear in it, and sometimes it's not even known. Like it's just waking up from it. This is where consciousness comes and goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a problem, though, that it's only a problem, the nothingness, or something, but somebody that wants to be something. Nobody ever minds going to sleep at night, or rarely. It minds dying, because it's like, well, I can never do this again, I can never... imagines... It's like the baby with throwing the toy over its head. It imagines what could be, and what it could experience. What it will lose. But that death is happening right here, that nothingness is here. That nothingness is what's creating. That emptiness is what's creating. This is all absolutely empty. It all comes to nothing. Everyone's like, oh, holy fuck, why are we here? It's terrible. It all comes to nothing. So why not that nothing play with all these colours? Even play so much that it plays the game of, or puts in the game that somebody is experiencing it separate from itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the dream at night.
Yeah.
We always normally dream through a body at night. But it's all dream, all of it. Everything that's looked at is dream. Everything that's sensed is dream, the same here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's scary, because if we imagine ourselves as something that will disappear into the nothing, like the body will disappear into the nothing, that's scary. But the nature of you, not you as a separate entity, is nothing. It is emptiness. It's just, it's like firework. Ooh.
So when consciousness goes, and then there's just nothing, and you are the nothing,
there's nothing. We can't even imagine it.
The
consciousness is going here as well, that nothingness is happening here. You can't see it, but you can sense it, that emptiness, that void. It's just creating everything now, but that everything is that void. If you imagine what the nothingness looks like, then that's imagining. But this is empty. But everything is the emptiness. It's not that everything isn't it, and there's only emptiness. Like, everything is an expression of that emptiness. And that's where the love side of it is, even though there's not science, but that's the love part of it. Why not? This is infinite. Beyond infinite, this is nothing. I mean, so why not create this? I know it feels like sometimes when the suffering person's there, that it feels like such a long time, and why me, and da da da, but why not? It's got forever, even beyond the other, forever. It's just, why not?
Okay.
And it's gone when it's gone. Never even existed. Just like a dream at night. I'm really confusing when I speak. But sometimes you can get a sense of it. And the sense is an energetic... What does even energetical mean? But it's like the sense of it is like... It's like an immediacy. It's a little, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I know it really sounds like I know what I'm talking about. It's just coming out. Duck, 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 duck. But in this, we could say vertical a lot of the. People say vertical.
Is it accompanied by frustration also when you're talking or not? That you have the idea you have to reach someone or you have to clarify things and you can't or not?
No, like not in an imagining form, but sometimes there's not really a watching of energies, but sometimes the sensation of like when it, when you've got someone really trying to grab and grab and grab, it's the fire comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It more that more happens one on one with people.
Mm-hmm.
It seems illogical that which is free goes through apparent bondage.
It seems illogical. Why not? Why not? It's got beyond our concept of fiat forever. It's got, like, we've got a very limited concept of forever or eternity. It's got, this is nothing. It's beyond endless. Why not? Why not create?
I mean illogical because it must be impossible for that which is free.
Oh yeah. Oh right, right. Yeah, it is. It's not really bounded. That's why I say it always seems that way. It's never. When Minnie was asking that question, it's never really bounded. It's just playing. It's just streaming down. But like in a dream at night, that there's not really somebody inside the body walking through the dream. It's not really somebody in there experiencing that. Somebody inside the body vulnerable to the dream. And why then play the game of waking itself up? Why? Because it happens. You never can answer it. There can be enjoyment of theorizing, making theories, but it will never ever answer this because it does. It's like an innocent kid. Why did you do that? Because I did. And you're like, not the answer. It happened, not the answer. You did it because you're naughty. Okay. There's a lovely quote from Alan Watts that I thought I could play. As we've been harping on about nothingness. Harping. I don't know if you guys can hear it very well on the computer. Maybe if you could just switch the fans off for 2 seconds. Just 2 seconds. Oh, wow. That's what the view's like. Oh, it's silent.
Yeah.
If we rise the, I don't know the name, there is air coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, but
mosquitoes. Oh, I see. Okay, it's only a minute and a half. Is it?
Can you close it for the mosquito?
She's listening tonight, so. The tent's still free now, though.
What's it?
The tent's still free. It was very
scary.
No, it's not.
It's not.
So, just to make it a bit more dramatic, the editor put a bit of nasty music to it, just to make it
a bit of what music?
Nice music. Yeah. With Alan Watts with a bit of nice music, kind of dum.
Yeah.
Get on with it, Lisa. It's funny to see.
So if you really go the whole way and see how you feel at the prospect of vanishing forever, of all your efforts and all your achievements and all your attainments turning into dust, nothingness, what is the feeling? What happens? It's a curious thing. The most real state is the state of love. That's what it's going to all come to.
Even shorter than I thought. It was one.
Yeah, that you had before.
Yeah. But this one's nice.
Yes, you are aware of.
Yeah.
So we'll just do a
little. A state which you call is, or reality, or life. This implies another state called isn't, or illusion, or unreality, or nothingness, or death. There it is. You can't know one without the other. And so as to make life poignant, it's always going to come to an end. That is exactly, don't you see, what makes it lively. Liveliness is change, is motion. And motion is going, it's like this, see, it goes fall out. And be gone. So, you see, you're always at the place where you always are. Only it keeps appearing to change. And you think, wowee, a little further on, we'll get that thing. I hope we don't go further down so that we lose what we already have. But
But that is built into every creature's situation, no matter how high, no matter how low. So, in this sense, all places are the same place. And the only time you ever notice any difference is in the moment of transition. When you go up a bit, you gain. When you go down a bit, you feel disappointed, gloomy, lost. You can go all the way down to death. Somehow, there seems to be a difficulty in getting all the way up. Death seems so final. Nothingness seems so very, very irrevocable and permanent. But then if it is, what about the nothingness that was before you started it? So don't you see, what we've left out of our logic, and this is part of the game rule of the game that we are playing, the way we hook ourselves is by attributing powerlessness to nothingness. We don't realize that is a complete logical fallacy. On the contrary, it takes nothing to have something. Because you wouldn't know what something was without nothing. You wouldn't know what the form is without the background space. You wouldn't be able to see anything unless there were nothing behind your eyes. Now imagine yourself with a spherical eye. You see all around. Now what's in the middle? See? Even if I have all this behind me in view, suddenly I will find that there is something in the middle of it all. There's a hole in the middle of reality. Like now, there seems to be not so much a hole, but a wall. But any animal which had eyes in the back of his head would have the sensation I'm describing. Now, you may say to me, well, all that's wishful thinking. Because when you're dead, you're dead, see? Now, wait a minute. What's that state of consciousness that talks in that way? This is somebody saying something who wants to make a point. Now, what point does that sort of person want to make? It's like when you're dead, see? Why, that's one of the people who want to rule the world. It's frightening about death. Death is real, see? I mean, it's don't indulge in wishful thinking. All you people who dream of an afterlife and heavens and gods and mystical experiences and eternity. Oh, you're just wishy-washy people. You don't face the facts. What facts? How can I face the fact of nothing, which is by definition not a fact? You see? All this is total from whichever way you look at it. So if you really go the whole way and see how you feel at the prospect of vanishing forever. Of all your efforts and all your achievements and all your attainments turning into dust and nothingness. What is the feeling? What happens to you? It's a curious thing that in the world's poetry, this is a very common theme. The earthly hope men set their hearts upon turns ashes, or it prospers. And anon, like snow upon the desert's dusty face, lighting a little hour or two, is gone. All kinds of poetry emphasizes the theme of transience. And there's a kind of nostalgic beauty. The banquet hall deserted after the revelry. All the guests had left and gone their ways. The table with overturned glasses, crumpled napkins, breadcrumbs, dirty knives and forks lies empty. And the laughter echoes only in one's mind. Then the echo goes. The memory, the traces are all gone. That's the end, you see. Do you see, in a way, how that is saying the most real state is the state of nothing? That's what is going to all come. But these physicists who think of the energy of the universe running down, dissipating in radiation, gradually, until there's nothing at all left. And for some reason or other, we're supposed to find this depressing. But if somebody is going to argue that the basic reality is nothingness, where does all this come from? Obviously from nothingness. Once again, you get how it looks behind your eyes, you see? So cheer up, you see. This is what is meant in Buddhist philosophy by saying we are all basically nothing. When the sixth patriarch says the essence of your mind, that's how it is behind your eyes, is intrinsically pure. The pure doesn't mean a non-dirty story state of mind, as it is apt to mean in the word purity. Pure means clear. Void. So, you know the story, when the sixth patriarch was given his office as successor, because he was truly enlightened, there was a poetry contest. And the losing one wrote the idea that the mind, the consciousness, was like a mirror, which had to be polished. And constantly, I have to polish my mirror. I have to purify my mind, see? So that I'm detached and calm and clear-headed, you know, Buddha. But the one who won the contest said, there is no mirror. And the nature of the mind is intrinsically void. So where is there anywhere for dust to collect? See? So in this way, by seeing that nothingness is the fundamental reality, and you see it's your reality, then how can anything contaminate you? Or the idea of your being scared and put out and worried and so on, it's just nothing, it's a dream. Because you're really nothing. But this is the most incredible nothing. And the sixth patriarch, likewise, went on to contrast emptiness of indifference, which is sort of blank emptiness. See, if you think of this nothingness as mere blankness, and you hold on to the idea of blankness, and kind of grisly about it, you haven't understood it. He said nothingness is really like the nothingness of space, which contains the whole universe. All the sun, moon, and stars, and the mountains and rivers, and the good men and the bad men, and the animals and the insects, the whole bit, all are contained in void. So out of this void comes everything, and you're it. What else could you be?
That's nice.